Richard Dawkins is an outspoken atheist and a former Oxford University professor.
Richard Dawkins, 他是在以前在牛津做教授，然后他也是一个非常公开的一个无神论者。
He's also the author of several books, including The God Delusion and The Blind Watchmaker.
那他也是很出名的作家，他做了几本书，其中包括叫做《神的迷思》，另外一本呢叫做《盲目的钟表匠》。
In addressing the problem of suffering in the world, he writes the following.
那当他在讲到这个世界上的痛苦的时候呢，他这样说。
If the universe were just electrons and selfish genes, blind physical forces and genetic replication, some people are going to get hurt, other people are going to get lucky, and you won't find any rhyme or reason in it, nor any justice. The universe we observe has precisely the properties we should expect if there is at bottom no design, no purpose, no evil, no good, nothing but pitiless indifference. Most people don't find it very comforting to be mere products of blind physical forces and genetic replication.
所以大部分人都觉得说，如果我们只是一些盲目的物理的作用力，还有这个随便的基因的这个转变的结果的话呢，都不是觉得很满意。
Maybe that's part of the reason why there are far more adherents of religion than there are of atheism.
所以这也是有可能为什么这世界上我们找到有信仰的人比没信仰的人还要多。
You see, most religions teach that Dawkins is wrong.
那而且呢，大部分的信仰宗教都会告诉我们说 ，Dawkins 刚刚这个作者呢，他说错了。
They would teach that there is design.
所以这些宗教呢会说是有设计的。
There is purpose.
是有目的的。
There is evil.
是有恶。
There is good.
也有善。
And the God that they worship is not.Pitilessly indifferent.
所以这些我们所崇拜、敬拜的这个神呢，不是冷漠无情的。
Instead, he, she, they, or it cares for the suffering people in this world.
那这些宗教会告诉我们说，这些神，各样的神，是对我们是关心我们的，也是关心我们所受的痛苦的。
But do the religions of this world give ample evidence?That there really is a God, and that this God actually cares for the suffering people in this world.
但是这世界上各种宗教呢，是不是有给我们充足的证据，让我们知道说是有一个神，而且这个神呢，对于我们所受的痛苦，他是关心的呢
？Tim Keller is a New York City Presbyterian pastor, and in his best-selling book called The Reason for God, he writes the following.
Tim Keller 他是在纽约市一个长老教会的一个牧师，然后在于对人类的这个痛苦呢，他这样讲。
In a real world of relationships, it is impossible to love people with a problem or a need without in some way, in some sense, sharing or even changing places with them. All real life love involves some sort of this kind of exchange.
这个应该是在 slide 上面有。然后他就讲说呢，说在真正的这个有关系的这个世界上面呢，你要爱一个有需要或者有问题的人的话呢，你是不可能跟他没关系的。也就是说，你想要帮助他的话呢，真正对生命有改变的这种爱呢，就是你必须要跟他有互相的一个互动跟互相的转变。
Keller goes on to share two examples to illustrate this point.
那接下来他会用两个例子来解释说什么样叫做你关心这个人你就必须要跟他生命跟他的地位上面互相的转变呢
He writes Imagine you come in contact with a man who is innocent but who is being hunted down by secret agents or by the government or by some other powerful group
那你想象你呢认识了一个人他呢是一个无辜的是没有犯罪的人然后呢，他这个人呢，他是被或者秘密警察或者政府是什么样的在追杀
？He reaches out to you for help.
然后呢，他就找你帮助他。
If you don't help him, he will probably die. But if you ally with him, you who are perfectly safe and secure will be in mortal danger.
那呢，如果你不帮他的话呢，他就有可能会被人家 杀死了。但是如果你要帮助他的话，你介入这个事情当中的话呢，你虽然本来是在一个很安全的地位，但是因为你介入了这个事情，你就有可能也生命受到威胁。
He will experience increased safety and security through your involvement, but only because you are willing to enter into his insecurity and vulnerability.
所以这个人呢，会因为你的介入，他的安全性会增加。但是你自己呢，却是因为进入了这个事情，所以你却是承受了他的不安全性。
Consider parenting.
那或者呢，我们来想想身为父母的这个事情。
Children come into this world in a condition of complete dependence.
那孩子呢，来到这个世上呢，是一个完全无助的跟无力的。
They cannot operate as self-sufficient, independent agents unless their parents give up much of their own independence.And freedom for many years.
所以这些孩子呢，他们没有办法自己是做独立自主的事情，在他们小的时候，除非父母呢在这些时候呢放弃了一些他们自己的自主跟自由，来帮助这些孩子。
If you don't allow your children to hinder your freedom and work and play at all, and if you only get to your children when it doesn't inconvenience you, your children will grow up physically only.
所以如果你没有让这些孩子介入你的生活来侵犯到你的自由跟你的自主的话呢，或者是呢你只是在你方便的时候跟你孩子在一块的话，那你孩子长大呢，他只有身体上的成长。
In all sorts of other ways they will remain emotionally needy, troubled and over dependent.
所以在非常多的方面，这些孩子呢，他们在情感上是非常需要的，而且呢他们是这个有很常常遭遇很多困难的，而且呢是太过依赖。
The choice is clear.
所以呢，选择性是非常明显。
You can either sacrifice your own freedom or theirs.
所以呢，你要么就是牺牲你自己的自由，要么就牺牲你孩子的自由。
It's them or it's you.
所以，要么就你，要么就孩子。
To love your child well, you must decrease that they may increase.
所以要好好的爱你孩子的话呢，我们自己要变小，孩子呢才会成长。
You must be willing to enter into dependency they have so eventually they can experience the freedom and independence that you have.
所以你必须要愿意介入他们这些有依赖的这个阶段，所以他们可以慢慢成长，可以得到跟你一样的自主跟自由。
Keller closes with these words, All life-changing love toward people with serious needs is a substitutional sacrifice.
所以 Tim Keller 呢，他最后这样说，他说所有的这个有可以改变人生命的这种爱呢，尤其是在帮助这些有真正需要的这些人，你要去爱他们的话呢，你给他们的是一个互换的爱。
If you become personally involved with them, their weaknesses flow into you and your strengths flow towards them.
所以你如果是亲自的来进入他们这些困难的话呢，那你的这个优势就会流到他们身上，他们的缺点跟他们弱势呢就会到达你的身上。
How can God be a God of love if he does not personally become involved in suffering the same violence, oppression, grief, weakness, and pain that we experience?
如果神要被称为是一个爱我们的神的话，他怎么可以不介入我们的困苦、我们的受压迫、我们的悲伤、我们的软弱跟我们的痛苦呢？
The answer to that question is twofold.
那这个问题的答案呢，有两个层面。
First, God doesn't.
第一个，神不是这样子的。
And secondly, only one major religion can claim that God does.
第二层面呢，就是只有一个主要的宗教呢，可以说会说这个爱我们的神呢，他是会介入的。
Now, as you might guess, Keller believes that Christianity is that one major religion that claims that God personally gets involved in the same violence, oppression, grief, weakness, and pain that we experience.
那我们可以想象 ，Tim Keller 呢，他相信这唯一主要的宗教呢，就是基督教。他可以宣称这个基督教的神他愿意介入我们受的压迫我们的痛苦我们的苦难跟我们所受到的暴力
But how has God gotten involved in our suffering?
那神怎么样介入怎么样跟我们的这个痛苦有关系呢
And what was the result of that attempt?
那他这样做的话结果是什么呢
Isaiah chapter 53 has the answer to these questions.
那以赛亚书53章呢有答案。
Isaiah 53 is a prophecy about the Jewish Messiah.
以赛亚书53章呢在讲的是关于弥赛亚的预言。
The prophecy reveals God's plan to address the problem of suffering.
那这弥赛亚关于弥赛亚的预言呢就是在讲说神他怎么样计划来救赎从帮我们从我们痛苦当中救赎。
Now the amazing thing about this prophecy was that it was written approximately 700 years before Jesus was born.
这个预言特别的地方就是说它是在耶稣出生700年前就已经有这个预言了。
It's amazing because this prophecy so accurately and yet so poetically describes the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
那这更特别的地方是这一个预言呢它很清楚的仔细的确切的描述了这个要来的这个弥赛亚他的出生他的生平他的死亡跟他的这个复活。
In other words, Isaiah 53 was not written by a Christian disciple after the death of Jesus Christ as propaganda to manipulate people to become Christians.
也就是说这个预言呢并不是在耶稣出现之后他的门徒写的为了是要宣扬让大家来相信这个基督教。
Instead,It was written by a Jewish prophet to give the Jews assurance that God cares about their suffering and that he would someday send his Messiah to address their problem of suffering.
相反的神呢他这样做是他拣选了犹太的先知在耶稣基督诞生之前就已经预言了他怎么样在将来的时候为犹太人送来一个拯救者。
The prophecy was also given ahead of time so that when the Messiah would appear, that people would be able to recognize him and they would not be fooled by some imposter.
那这个预言呢也是事先就给我们的。所以呢当弥赛亚真正来的时候我们就会知道他的确是这个预言的弥赛亚而不会被一些骗人的这个仿冒的人所骗。
So if God addresses the problem of suffering by sending the Messiah, what will that Messiah look like?
所以神他在讲描述这个弥赛亚的时候他也讲很清楚他是什么样子。
Many Jews believed that the Messiah would come as a conquering king.
那很多犹太人呢当时他们相信他们的弥赛亚是一个征服的王。
He would be a king who would deliver them from their oppressors who had given them so much suffering.
那他们相信呢这个征服的这个国王呢会把他们从他们先前的痛苦当中拯救出来。
But would this Messiah truly come as a conquering king?
那但是这个弥赛亚是不是真的来的时候就是这个得胜的君王的样子呢？
Let's take a look at Isaiah chapter 52 verses 13 through 15. These are the verses that serve as a prelude to Isaiah 53 and give an overview of what Isaiah will explain in more detail in Isaiah 53. And to save some time, Mavis is going to read it in Mandarin, and those of us who only understand English can read it on the screen.
那我们可以从以赛亚书五十二章十三到十五节来看看，这个呢是以赛亚书五十三章的前奏，他事先解释了，让我们能够更明白五十三节要讲什么。以赛亚书五十二章十三到十五节这样说：我的仆人行事必有智慧，必被高举上升，而且成为至高。许多人因他惊奇，他的面貌比别人憔悴，他的形容比世人枯高。这样他必洗净许多国民，君王要向他闭口，因为所未曾传与他们的，他们必看见；未曾听见的，他们要明白。
Would this Messiah be a conquering king?
那这个弥赛亚他是一个征服的君王吗？
The answer is wrapped up in a mystery in these verses.
所以呢这个答案呢在这个经文当中呢看起来好像很神秘。
On one hand, the Messiah is called a servant instead of a king, and so he seems to be less than a king.
所以呢因为在这边他描述这个君王是说他是仆人所以看起来好像是比君王还要低。
On the other hand, he seems to be greater than a king because he causes all the other kings to shut their mouth in amazement of who he is.
那但是从另外一个角度来看呢，他好像比这个得胜君王还要高，因为呢，他使君王都向他闭口，然后心里称奇。
On one hand, he seems to be a conqueror because he's raised up and exalted and lifted high.
那从一个角度来看，他好像是非常高的，因为他被高举了，被尊崇了。
But on the other hand, he seems to be the conquered, because his body has become disfigured and marred.
啊，但是从另外角度来看，他好像又是那个被征服的那个，因为他的形容比人憔悴，他的面貌比人家枯槁。
So who is he?
那到底是谁呢？
Is he less than a king?
他到底是比君王还要低呢？
Or is he more than a king?
还是高过君王呢？
Is he the conqueror?
他是一个得胜的呢？
Or is he the conquered?
还是被人家得胜？
On Good Friday, Jesus was disfigured and marred.
在这个逾越节晚上呢，这个那天那个耶稣在受难日的时候，耶稣他是被人家毁坏的，被破坏的。
But on Easter Sunday, he was raised.
但是在复活节的时候，他被高举了。
40 days later, he was ascended up into heaven.
40天之后，他高升进天堂。
And now Jesus is highly exalted as he sits at the right hand of God in heaven.
现在耶稣他坐在神的右边的宝座上，受世人的尊崇。
And as a result, the kings will shut their mouths in humility and amazement.
那这样的结果呢，就是世上的君王都因为谦卑跟惊奇，他们就向他闭口。
Because the one that they thought that they had conquered had actually conquered their hearts.
因为他们以为他们已经战胜了那个，现在来战胜他们的心了。
In Romans chapter 15, verses 20 through 21, the Apostle Paul reveals the fulfillment of the last part of Isaiah 52, verse 15.
在罗马书十五章二十到二十一节，他就实现了在以赛亚书五十二节后面讲的这个部分。他这样说，使徒保罗这样说：“我立了志向，不在基督的名被称过的地方传福音，免得建造在别人的根基上。”就如经上所记，未曾闻知他信息的将要看见，未曾听过的将要明白。
In other words, whenever a person puts her faith in Jesus as her Messiah who came to conquer the problem of her suffering, Isaiah 52 verse 15 is fulfilled.
那也就是说，当有一个人把他的信心建立在耶稣基督上面，让他成为战胜他的痛苦的这个王的时候，那以赛亚书五十二章十三到十五节呢，就已经被实现了。
And it is my prayer today that if you are not yet a believer, that today will be the day that Isaiah 52 verse 15 is fulfilled in your life.
那在我的祷告当中呢，也是希望今天在你们这些有一些还没有认识、还没有接受耶稣基督成为你的君王的这人心中呢，今天以赛亚书五十二章十五节能够实现。
And so Isaiah 52 verses 13 through 15, Isaiah gives the overview of how God oppresses, how God addresses the problem of pain.
所以呢，在以赛亚书五十二章十三到十五节呢，他就这个是一个前奏，他概括概略了告诉我们说将来神他怎么样过来要来拯救我们。
The servant becomes a king.
所以仆人成为君王。
The conquered becomes a conqueror.
被战胜的成为一个战胜者。
And now in Isaiah chapter 53, we see how this plan is laid out.
那在以赛亚书五十三章就要讲说神的计划是怎么样成就。
We find how the conquered becomes the conqueror.
那我们可以知道说那些那个被战胜的如何战胜别人。
We find out how the servant becomes a king.
我们就可以知道为什么仆人成为君王。
And we find out how God addresses the problem of pain through this plan.
我们可以看到神在他的计划当中如何解决我们的这个在世上的痛苦这个问题。
The first part of the plan was the inauguration of the Messiah.
那这个计划中第一步呢，就是怎么样让弥赛亚能够成就。
How would this Messiah reveal himself to mankind?
那这个弥赛亚呢，他怎么样把他自己向世人显现呢？
In verse 1, the question is asked, and then in verse 2, the question is answered.
在五十三章第一节这个问题就问出来了，在第二节呢，答案就回答了。弥赛亚书五十三章一到二节，我们所传的有谁信呢？耶和华的膀臂向谁显露呢？他在耶和华面前生长如嫩芽，像根出于干地。 他无家行美容，我们看见他的时候也无美貌使我们羡慕他。
Perhaps the Messiah should have hired a campaign manager.
所以是不是啊这个弥赛亚应该找一个竞选总理来帮助他。
This is not how you win a presidential campaign.
但是呢这个不是在总统竞选。
This is not the way to win friends and influence people.
那这个呢也不是在让你多广结朋友或是去影响别人。
You need to come out strong, but he came out like a tender shoot.
因为你应该是要出来是很强势的，但是呢他弥赛亚出来呢却像是嫩芽一样。
You need to leave a good first impression, but he looked like a root out of dry ground.
那你呢出来应该要让人家有很好的第一印象，但是呢他却看起来像根处于干地一样。
You need to overwhelm people with your beauty and your majesty, but there was nothing in his appearance to make people desire him.
那你应该看起来是很美的很壮观的，可是呢他却无家行美容也无美貌使我们羡慕他。
Now it is true that Jesus had an impressive lineage.
那我们知道说耶稣呢他其实是有一个非常让人家从羡慕的这个族谱。
In Isaiah chapter 11, Jesus is called both the root of Jesse and a branch of Jesse.
因为在以赛亚书十一章说耶稣呢他是耶西的本也是耶西的根。
You see, he was both the creator and the descendant of King David's father Jesse.
也就是说耶稣呢他是创造大卫王父亲的那一个，他也是大卫王父亲叫耶西的子孙。
Both Mary, his biological mother, and Joseph, his adopted father, were descendants of the royal lineage.
那也就是说他的耶稣的母亲他的生母玛利亚跟他的养父约瑟都是从同一个这个皇室的这个血缘来的。
But the house of Jesse no longer had a descendant sitting on David's throne.
但是在耶西的接下来子孙呢都没有人坐在大卫的宝座上面。
And so when Jesus came to this earth, he indeed was a root out of dry ground.
所以当耶稣来到这个世上的时候就好像嫩芽出于干地一样。
He was born in a cow barn.
那他是在牛棚里面出生的。
He grew up as a carpenter's son.
他是木匠的儿子。
He lived like a homeless vagrant.
他生活呢好像是无家可归流浪汉一样。
He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him.
他也没有家行美容让我们能够觉得很受吸引。
So why didn't Jesus hire an image consultant?
那我们想想为什么耶稣他没有找一个这个形象的顾问来帮助他呢？
Why didn't he come across more impressive so that he could become more influential?
那为什么他不来到世上的时候看起来很让人家震撼，就所以他可以有更大的影响力呢？
It's because Jesus did not come to impress.
那就是因为耶稣他来到世上不是想要让你羡慕他。
He didn't want to receive any special privileges or superficial status symbols.
他不想要有一来的时候就有什么特权或有什么崇高的地位。
Instead, he wanted to relate to the weakest of us.
他却是想要跟我们当中最软弱的一样。
He became weak so that we could become strong.
因为他成为软弱了我们就可以刚强。
As Tim Keller says, all life-changing love toward people with serious needs is a substitutional sacrifice.
也就是像这个牧师 Tim Keller 他这样说，所有可以改变人生命的这个爱，你想要在爱这样子有需要的人的时候呢，一定是一个互替的互换的这个爱。
And that unimpressive beginning was only the tip of an iceberg of his substitutionary sacrifice.
那也就是说我们看到了这个这么卑微的开始，弥赛亚这么卑微的开始呢，就是我们要见到他这个互换牺牲的这样子的爱的开始，冰山一角。
Now you would think that people would be very grateful that the Messiah would be willing to hobnob with plain folk like them.
那你想说，我们知道说，耶稣这么伟大的人，想要来跟我们这平凡的人在一起相处的话，我们应该是觉得很感动。
But take a look at verses 3 and 4.
但是我们看看53章3到4节怎么说。他被藐视，被人厌弃，多受痛苦，常经忧患。他被藐视，好像被人掩面不看的一样， 我们也不尊重他，他诚然担当我们的忧患，背负我们的痛苦，我们却以为他受责罚，被神击打苦待了。
Instead of being appreciated for leaving heaven's glory to hobnob with plain folk, the plain folk despised and rejected him.
我们不但是没有感激他离开了天堂的荣耀来跟我们这些平凡人在一起，我们反而还看不起他。
Instead of thanking him for coming to this world to relieve oppressed people by taking on their physical and emotional suffering, the oppressed accused him of deserving the pain because they thought God was punishing him.
我们不但没有谢谢他来到我们当中来帮助这些受到压迫的这些人，拯救他们从他们的痛苦，我们这些被压迫的人反而还嘲笑他，还觉得说他是因为犯罪了，所以神要击打他。
This prophecy was fulfilled several times in the life of Jesus.
那像这样子的预言呢，在以赛亚书这样写，在接下来的历史的事件当中已经成就了很多遍，应验很多遍。
Instead of surrendering to the kingship of the Christ child, King Herod tried to kill Jesus.
那希律王他不但没有把这个君王这个婴孩去敬拜这个婴孩，他反而要把他杀了。
Instead of worshiping Jesus as God in the flesh, people rejected him as a blasphemous fraud.
犹太人不但是没有认他成为一个道成肉身的神，他们反而觉得他是一个藐视神的骗子。
Instead of praising him for taking on their suffering, the people cried out for him to be crucified.
人们不但没有谢谢他来拯救他们，他们还说把他杀了，钉十字架。
Have you ever been disappointed because people didn't appreciate how much you sacrificed for them?
你是不是曾经有这样的经验？你为别人牺牲了，可是人家却不感激你。
Have you ever been wounded by somebody's rejection?
那你是不是曾经有受伤害的经验，因为人家拒绝了你？
Have you ever been injured by false accusations?
你是不是曾经受害了，因为别人指控你？
You are not alone.
你并不孤单。
There's a God who knows just how you feel.
因为有一位神，他知道你真正的经历是什么。
And his name is Jesus.
他的名字叫耶稣。
Okay, so it's fine and dandy that Jesus can relate to us.
那我们想说，哦，那其实很好啊，他这样耶稣喜欢跟我们在一块，很好。
But what does that have to do with the suffering that we are experiencing?
那但是这个跟我们现在正在所处的痛苦有什么直接关系呢？
Okay, so he's suffering with us.
我们说，哦，他跟我们一块受苦。
But why doesn't he just take the suffering away from us?
那为什么不干脆直接把我们痛苦拿走就好了呢？
Why doesn't the Lord come and destroy his enemies and rescue us from this oppression?
为什么我们的主不来把我们所有敌人都击倒了，那把我们这个困难就直接拿走就好了呢？
Let's read verses 5 through 6.
我们来读第五到第六节。哪知他为我们的过犯受害，为我们的罪孽压伤，因他受的刑罚我们得平安，因他受的鞭伤使我们得医治。我们都如羊走迷，个人偏行己路，耶和华使我们众人的罪孽都归在他身上。
Do you know what would have happened if the Lord would destroy all his enemies?
你知道说如果神下来把他所有的敌人都击打的话，会发生什么事吗？
You and I would be destroyed.
你跟我都会受到击打。
You see, we like to flatter ourselves to think that we are merely the victims of other people's sins.
因为我们常常会自我安慰，会想说我们呢其实是别人犯罪的受害者。
But in reality, we are also the perpetrators of sin.
但是事实上呢，我们却是那个犯罪的人。
We were the ones who were despising him.
我们看不起他。
We were the ones who were rejecting him.
是我们拒绝了耶稣。
We were the ones who had committed transgressions and iniquities.
是我们犯了罪了，犯了罪孽了。
We were the ones who foolishly strayed away from him.
是我们远离他了。
In other words, we were the enemies who should have been destroyed for our rebellion.
也就是说，我们才是神真正的敌人，是我们悖逆的神。
But instead of being pierced for our iniquities, the Messiah would be pierced for us.
但是我们却没有因我们的罪孽压伤，因为受伤，因为弥赛亚为我们的罪孽而受刺伤。
Instead of being crushed for our iniquities, the Messiah would be crushed for us.
我们没有因为我们自己的罪孽受压伤，因为弥赛亚因为我们的罪孽他受压伤。
Instead of being punished for straying away from the Lord, the Lord would lay the iniquities upon the Messiah.
我们没有因为我们的种民而受自己受到刑罚，耶和华却使我们众人的罪孽归到耶稣身上。
And this prophecy was fulfilled on the cross.
那这个预言呢，在十字架上就成就了。
His hands, his feet, and sides were literally pierced for us.
他的手、他的脚、他的肋旁都为了我们的罪而被刺伤。
The weight of the sins of mankind crushed him.
我们人类的罪孽这样子的重量把耶稣压伤了。
And the Father poured out his wrath of our sins upon him.
天父把因为我们犯罪而他所产生的天父的愤怒都浇灌在耶稣的身上。
As the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 5 verses 6 through 8.
那使徒保罗他在罗马书五章六到八节这样子说，因我们还软弱的时候，基督就按所定的日期为罪人死，为义人死是少有的，为人人死或者有敢做的，唯有基督在我们还做罪人的时候为我们死，神的爱就在此向我们显明了。
It was so unfair.
是很不公平的。
We deserve to be punished, but we go unpunished.
我们需要受到惩罚的人却没有受到惩罚。
Whereas the Messiah has no reason to be punished, but he's the one who gets punished.
但是弥赛亚是不需要受到惩罚的，他却是那个唯一被惩罚的。
Now, so was this God the Son the victim of some kind of cosmic child abuse from God the Father?
那我们可以说这个圣子他是受到我们的圣父这样无情的这个孩，就是虐待孩童的做法吗？
Let's read verse 7.
我们来读第七节。他被欺压，在受苦的时候却不开口。他像羊羔被牵到宰杀之地，又像羊在剪毛的人手下无声，他也是这样不开口。
The Messiah would be given the opportunity to defend himself, but he would remain.
弥赛亚其实是有机会可以开口的，但是他却闭口不言。
Jesus fulfilled this prophecy in Matthew chapter 27, verses 12 through 14.
那耶稣他实现了这样子的预言，他在马太福音27章12到14节就实现了。他被祭司长和长老控告的时候，什么都不回答。比拉多就对他说：“他们做见证，告你这么多的事情，你没有听见吗？”耶稣仍不回答，连一句话也不说，以致巡抚甚觉稀奇。
Jesus could have defended himself against his accusers and have been set free, but he voluntarily chose to remain silent because he loved us sinners more than he loved himself.
耶稣在那个时候，他大大的可以为自己辩护，但是他选择闭口不言，连一句话都不说，因为他爱我们这些罪人多过于他爱他自己。
Do you need more evidence that Jesus voluntarily died on the cross?
那你们还需要更多的证据来证明说耶稣他是自愿的，主动的在十字架上为我们死吗？
Take a look at Matthew chapter 26 verses 51 through 53.
那我们来看马太福音26章51到53节这样说。
Let me say something. Judas Iscariot had just betrayed Jesus with a kiss, and the soldiers were about ready to arrest Jesus.
那犹大他已经出卖了耶稣了，他亲吻了耶稣，让大家知道就是要捕捉他。那这个时候呢，这些兵丁已经准备好要来捕捉耶稣了。
But take a look at what happens next.
那我们看接下来什么事情发生呢？有跟随耶稣的一个人伸手拔刀出来。将大祭司的仆人砍了一刀，削掉了他一个耳朵。耶稣对他说：“收刀入鞘吧，凡动刀的必死在刀下。你想，我不能求我父亲现在为我差遣十二营多天使来吗？ 若是这样，经上所说事情必须如此的话，怎么应验呢？
If Jesus wanted to be rescued, he could have called upon the Father, and the Father would have sent more than 72,000 angels to rescue him.
所以如果耶稣想要摆脱这个的话，他大大可以求他的天父送来72,000多的天使来拯救他。
See, Jesus was not forced to take the punishment for our sins.
所以耶稣他并不是被逼迫了来替我们的罪而死了。
Instead, he voluntarily took the punishment for us.
是他自愿的、主动的为我们担当我们的罪。
In verses 8 and through 9, Isaiah continued to describe the price that the Messiah had to pay for us, or had to pay with us.
那在八节到九节呢？这个先知以赛亚呢，他继续描述了耶稣，这个我们的弥赛亚怎么样来跟我们一起付我们罪的代价。因受欺压和审判，他被夺去。至于他同事的人，谁想他受鞭打，从活人之地被剪除，是因我百姓的罪过呢？他虽然未行强暴，口中也没有诡诈，人还使他与恶人同埋，谁知死的时候与财主同葬。
Messiah would not only suffer for us, he would also die for us.
所以我们的弥赛亚不但是为我们受苦，他为我们受死。
You see, we can, you know, for many years, I think that, or for 700 years, verse 9 must have puzzled the readers of Isaiah.
那我想在这个以赛亚书写完之后的这个700年当中，阅读这本书的人一定是觉得很困惑。
Why would a person who had been condemned as a wicked person receive a rich man's burial?
为什么跟有一个人他是被被逼迫了，而且被控告了，然后跟罪人同埋的，他怎么会跟财主同葬呢？
But for those of us who have read Matthew chapter 27 verses 57 through 60, it all makes sense.
但是我们如果有读到马太福音27-60的话呢，我们就发现是原来是合理的，因为他这样子说，到了晚上，有一个财主名叫约瑟，是亚利马太来的，他是耶稣的门徒，这人去见比拉多求耶稣的身体，比拉多就吩咐给他，约瑟取了身体，用干净细麻布裹好，安放在自己的新坟墓里，这就是他凿在磐石里的，他又把大石头滚到墓门口去，就去了。
And so when the rich man named Joseph of Arimathea had Jesus' body placed in his own tomb, Isaiah 59 verse 9 was fulfilled.
所以呢，当这个约瑟从亚利马太来的约瑟，他取了耶稣的身体放在自己的凿的新的坟墓的时候呢，这个以赛亚书53:9就应验了。
And since Jesus fulfilled this unusual prophecy, we have yet another piece of evidence that Jesus truly was the Messiah, not some sort of fraud.
所以呢，当耶稣他应验了这个在以赛亚书所预言的这个不寻常的预言的时候呢，我们就知道说耶稣的确是应许的那位弥赛亚，他不是骗人的。
But the question still remains: How would the Messiah's death take care of the problem of suffering?
那这个，但是问题还是存在啊！这弥赛亚的死怎么样解决我们人类的痛苦的这个问题呢？
Isaiah 53 verses 10 through 12 gives us the answer.
那以赛亚书53:10-12就给我们回答了。耶稣耶和华却定义将他压伤，使他受痛苦。耶和华以他为赎罪祭，他必看见后裔，并且延长年日。耶和华所喜悦的事必在他手中亨通，他必看见自己劳苦的功效，便心满意足。
In this passage, Isaiah reveals that the Messiah would not remain dead.
所以我们就知道说，弥赛亚他不会永远死亡的。
Instead, he would see his spiritual offspring; his days would be prolonged, and the will of the Lord would prosper in his hand.
那我们就知道说，他必看见他属灵上面的后裔，而且他的年日必延长。耶和华喜悦这个事呢，必在他手中亨通。
He would see the light of life, and he would receive a portion among the great.
他必看见自己劳苦的功效，而且他心满意足。
Though I don't have time to explain what all that means, I can tell you that Jesus fulfilled all these prophecies on Easter morning when he rose from the grave.
所以呢，虽然我没有办法一一的解释刚刚讲的这些东西真正的这个意义在哪，你也得真正是代表什么？但是呢，我可以说，耶稣这个弥赛亚，他应验了所有在旧约里面预言弥赛亚的各样的状况。
And on that day, the conquered became the conqueror.
所以在受难日的时候他受死，但在复活日的时候他复活，所以这个。被征服的成为一个征服得胜的君王。
And the servant was revealed to be more than a king.
所以这个仆人，我们现在知道了，被彰显是成为比君王还更高的君王。
Jesus had won the victory.
耶稣他已经得胜了。
And in this passage, we can also see that the suffering of the Messiah does two things to take care of the problem of suffering.
那在这个经节里面呢，我们也可以学习到说。这个弥赛亚他的受的痛苦怎么样解决我们人类痛苦的问题
First, the Lord makes his life a guilt offering.
第一因为他自己成为一个赎罪祭
In other words, like a lamb led to the slaughter, the Messiah would take the punishment for the sins of all humans.
也就是说就好像是一个羔羊被带到待宰之地一样耶稣基督他就成为我们众人罪的赎罪祭。
You see, sin is the direct or indirect source of all suffering.
因为罪呢是直接的或是间接的，是所有苦难的根源。
And therefore, since God is a just judge, He cannot ignore the problem of sin.
那因为神是一个公义的审判者，所以他没有办法容忍罪的存在。
He must punish all sin.
他必须要惩罚所有的罪。
And so the Messiah takes the punishment for us.
所以弥赛亚必须要为我们担当所有罪的代价。
Secondly, the righteous servant will justify many.
那第二呢，这个公义的这个仆人呢，他可以使众人得称义。
To justify literally means to make somebody righteous.
所以称义的意思就是说让某一个人成为公义。
In order for anyone to enter God's presence in heaven, we need to be perfectly righteous.
也就是说，任何人他想要在天堂在神的面前的时候呢，他必须要是完全公义的。
Since every human has been tainted by sin, there is no way that we could do enough righteous deeds.To earn our way into heaven.
那因为我们世人都犯了罪，所以我们没有办法透过我们觉得做很多公义的事情，就让我们成为全然的公义。
But since he was offered as the final guilt offering for the sins of all mankind, the Messiah now offers a great exchange.
但是呢，因为弥赛亚他是为众人的罪做一次最后也是永远的赎罪祭，所以呢，他可以。带领所有的众人进入成为无罪进入天堂。
He'll take our sin, and we get his righteousness.
那这就是他跟我们所做的交换，因为他担当了我们的罪，所以我们就可以全然公义。
Dr. Maxwell Maltz is a plastic surgeon who shares a story that illustrates this kind of self-sacrificial love.
有一个这个手术外科，他是做整容的，叫做 Dr. Maxwell Maltz。
A man rushed into a burning house in an attempt to save his parents, but he couldn't get to them, and so they died.
然后他讲了一个故事，让我们能够知道什么叫做牺牲的爱。他讲说有一个人呢，他冲进了一个在着火的房子，为了救他的父母，但是他没有救到他的父母，所以父母死掉。
But in the process, his face was severely disfigured in the fire.
但是他在做这个事情的时候呢，因为他的脸就被火烧伤，所以整个脸都毁容。
The man misinterpreted the tragedy as being a punishment from God.
但是这个人呢，他却是误解了神的意思，他觉得他是受到神的惩罚了。
And filled with bitterness, he refused to let anybody see him, including his wife.
所以他的心里呢，非常的苦毒，而且呢，他不让任何人，甚至他的太太也不可以见到他。
The wife approached Dr. Maltz and told her about her husband's condition.
那这个太太呢，就跑去跟 Dr. Maltz 讲先生的这个状况。
And the doctor assured her that he would be able to restore her husband's face.
那这个整容外科呢，就跟这个太太说，我一定有办法帮助你的先生整容。
But the wife told the doctor that she knew that her husband would refuse his help, and so she came there for another reason.
但是这个太太跟这个手术外这个诊断科说啊，她知道她的先生呢一定是不愿意去接受整容的，所以这太太来呢是有另外一个请求。
She went on to say, "I want you to disfigure my face so that I can be like him."
然后这太太说呢，我要你毁我的容，所以我可以跟我的先生一样。
If I can share in his pain, then maybe he will come back to me and he will let me enter into his life.
如果我能够跟他一起分享他所受的苦痛的话，说不定他就愿意让我进入他的生命。
Dr. Maltz was shocked by the woman's request.
所以这个 Dr. Maltz 呢，他听到这个女人的请求的时候，他是非常的惊讶。
And of course, he refused to grant her request because of his commitment to the Hippocratic oath to do no harm.
那但是呢，他却是拒绝了这个女子的请求，因为他们是不能在病人身上做任何的伤害的。
But he was so moved by the woman's self-sacrificial love that he went to the couple's house so that he could speak with the husband.
但是呢，他对这个女人的请求呢是极为感动，所以他就去了这个人的家里啊，想要跟这个女人的丈夫说话。
He knocked on the husband's bedroom door and announced, "I'm a plastic surgeon and I want you to know that I can restore your face."
那这个医生呢，他来敲这个先生的房门，跟他说，我是一个整容的手术外科，我可以帮助你恢复你的容貌。
There was total silence.
门的另外一边没有回答。
Please come out, Dr. Maltz, we pleaded.
那 Dr. Maltz 呢，他一直请求他，请你出来，请你出来。
Again, there was total silence.
但是还是没有回答。
Still speaking through the door, the doctor shared the man's wife's proposal. She wants me to disfigure her face to make her face like yours in the hope that you will let her back into your life. That is how much she loves you.
那所以透过这个门呢 ，Dr. Maltz 他就跟这个先生说。这个太太的请求，他说你的太太来找我，要我毁她的容，所以呢，希望借着这样子的举动，她可以让你愿意进入她的让她愿意让她进入你的生命，但是呢，这个我要让你知道说，这个就是你太太有表现示了你太太多么的爱你。
After a brief moment of silence, the doctor saw the doorknob slowly turn.
那在一阵的沉默之后呢，这个医生见到了。这个房门的把手慢慢的转开了。
What the woman attempted to do, Jesus actually did for you.
所以这个女人想要尝试要做的，耶稣他已经为我们做到了。
He became disfigured so that you could have his beauty.
他成为毁坏的、毁容的，所以我们可以得到耶稣的美貌。
As 2 Corinthians 5:21 describes this great exchange. God made Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, that in Him we might become the righteousness of God.
在哥林多后书5:21说，神使那无罪的耶稣替我们成为罪，好叫我们在他里面成为神的义。
The darling of heaven was disfigured so that we could receive His beauty.
所以神国的宝贝。为了我们毁容了，所以我们可以得到他的美丽。
The man of sorrow, the Son of God became the man of sorrow, so that we could be filled with unspeakable joy.
神的儿子为了我们成为一个忧伤的灵魂，所以我们可以得到他这个无以言喻的喜乐。
The majestic King left his throne for a stable, so that we can live in his palace for eternity.
这个荣耀的君王，他愿意来到我们当中，到达马槽里面，所以我们可以进入他荣耀的殿堂。
The shepherd of our souls becomes a sacrificial lamb, so that we as wandering sheep could find our way back home.
我们心灵上面的牧羊人，却成为代替我们赎罪的羔羊，所以我们这些走迷的羊可以回到他的身边。
There is no better time than this Christmas season to receive God's free gift of forgiveness.
所以这个圣诞的这个季节是你最好的时机，你可以得到神他的恩典跟他的救赎。
If you are ready to receive this gift by putting your faith in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then please pray this prayer with me.
如果你现在已经可以决定愿意跟从耶稣，让他成为你生命的救主的话，你现在跟我一起这样子祷告。
Dear God, I thank you that Jesus left his throne in heaven to become one of us humans.
亲爱的神，我们谢谢你让耶稣离开他荣耀的宝座来与我们成为同等。
I believe that he died on the cross to take the punishment for my sins.
我相信他在十字架上受到了惩罚，所以我不需要得到惩罚。
I believe that he rose again so that he could give me eternal life.
我相信他又复活，所以他可以给我永生。
Please come into my life and make me more like Jesus.
求你进入我的生命，让我更像耶稣。
Now with your head still bowed and your eyes closed, is there anyone here who has decided for the first time to put his or her faith in Jesus Christ?
我们现在仍然低头闭眼，让我问我们当中的会众，有没有哪一个今天是第一次愿意把你的生命献给耶稣，让耶稣进入到你的生命当中？
If you have decided for the first time to put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior, would you raise your hand? We would like to make sure that somebody from our worship service talks with you afterwards so that we can help you make that decision. Is there anybody here that made that decision for the first time?
有没有人愿意的？如果你愿意的话，请你现在举手，我们会有人愿意再跟你多沟通这样的事情。
Perhaps you're not ready to become a Christian yet.But you find Christianity attractive and you'd like to talk to somebody about questions that you may have that you need answered before you become a Christian. If so, could you raise your hand and I'll make sure that someone talks with you after the worship service.
你可能还没有完全的准备好要接受耶稣，但是如果你觉得你愿意多了解基督教，你愿意多知道关于耶稣的事情，你愿意这个委身跟别人多谈谈你关于基督教有的一些问题的话，如果你有这样子的状况，你可以举手，我会让人跟你再继续谈。
You're also welcome to talk with us after, take your own initiative to talk with us afterwards as well.
或者是在会后，你也可以主动的找教会里面的一些弟兄姐妹，跟他们谈你心中所有的问题跟疑虑。
Lord, we thank you that we are not more.Accidents of blind evolution.
Oh, 主啊，我们谢谢你，因为我们不是这个盲目的这个演化的产物。
We thank you that you're not an indifferent God.
我们也谢谢你，并不是一个冷漠无情的神。
We thank you that you became one of us.
我们谢谢你成为我们当中的一个。
So that you would suffer for us.
所以你会为我们受痛苦。
So that we could live with you.
因为如此，我们就可以与你同在。
We pray this in Jesus' name.
我们这样祷告，奉耶稣的名。
Amen.
Amen.